Hey, and welcome to the latest episode here of Gridiron Japan. It's John, BJ, and myself hitting the record button an hour after the conversation started, because a lot here that, well, let's put it this way. We kind of went blue during that whole first hour when we weren't recording. Yes. So, but we are, John, BJ, we're starting off with football scores to start off here, man. So, BJ, start us off, my friend. How you doing?
I'm good. Been busy, you know. Yeah, last time I missed your guys' interview with AJ, and I was kind of bummed. Wish I got to talk with him, but no, I'm just chipping away at it over here with the whole coaching thing now, but it's a good busy. Can't complain.
Yeah, same here. Good to be back with you, Greg. Like you said, we spent the last, all the good stuff we said in off air. but... You know, it's good stuff, but we can't put it on air. Otherwise, we won't
yeah, no, no.
sport anymore. that's the stuff that you talk about in bars, you know, and with people in private. But good to be back. Some spring action has taken place. We've got some roster updates, some game updates, some things that, like, you know, spring is not the most important time really in Japanese football, but there's been a lot going on. So we got
Especially in the last couple of weeks, we had this weekend, we had five games just in the X League alone. And so we had IBM and OBIC, Tokyo Gas versus Deers, Elecom versus Panasonic, Asahi Beer versus Dentsu, and then Nojima versus Fujitsu. So BJ, you caught quite a few of the games, at least if not the games themselves, but you know, the highlights and even kind of drilling down into some of the stats. So what are some of your thoughts here starting out here?
Well, I attended the IBM and OBIC game. Went to go watch one of my former teammates who currently plays for IBM. But, you know, IBM, I think they only have one QB on roster, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, IBM looked like they were just trying to get their you know, there are a lot of their new guys in. I know they had a lot of roster turnover. A lot of new players have come in from other teams from the college level. So I think, you know, Kraft, I was talking to him after the game a little bit, you know, he just kind of wanted to see what everybody has, because they're going to have to make roster, you know, changes and cuts. So I think he just kind of wanted to see what everybody has and get everybody into the mix. You know, OBIC, I mean, OBIC is, you know, they're the spring, what are they going for, their fourth in a row right now?
That's right.
You know, yeah, OBIC kind of was going, you know, balls to the wall and putting the pedal to the metal. You know, IBM was kind of hurting themselves too. I think they had about two or three turnovers, interceptions and things like that. Some special teams miscues here and there. And, you know, OBIC was able to take care of it and put it away with that 38-14 here, right? So, you know, it was, like I say, you know, it's a kind of a different approach to the spring. But, you know, OBIC's going to go into the final, and, you know, we'll see how that looks. And it was the game right after, right? It was Tokyo Gas and Deers. And I think it was kind of a similar thing on the Deers end, right? I think, I forget the kid's name, but this game, I kind of only caught the highlights because I had to get home and kind of prep for my game. But I thought it was pretty cool that their quarterback that played majority of their game wore the number zero. You know, and kid's kind of got some wheels and stuff like that. You know, he's kind of like opposite of their, you know, their starting quarterback in their OC, Kato, you know, who's kind of more of like a Peyton Manning, right? He's going to sit back there and deliver the ball and, you know, dissect the offense that way, where this kid made some plays with his legs and things like that. But this was kind of a, you know, it was the field goal kicker's dream, this game, because it ended up being 9-6 for the Deers. Tokyo Gas, though, I mean, it'll be interesting, right? Because a lot of these teams, right, it's going to be different in the fall, because a lot of them aren't all in on who they're bringing in for their foreigners yet.
Right.
There's a lot of rumblings here and there. But, you know, nothing set in stone for, like, Tokyo Gas, for Deers, IBM, you know. So I'm kind of curious of what all these teams will look like once they make those roster decisions and kind of what the fall will look like for them.
Right, because we know we're you know, it's the pro, it's a tournament going on. It's still, for lack of a better term, it's still the preseason. There's so much that could change.
Yeah, I mean, if you look down, Panasonic beating Elecom 40-14, that's actually a tournament final. That's the Green Bowl tournament.
Yeah, that was the, you know.
Yeah, so they get that spring championship in West Japan. And like you said, BJ, Nojima knocked off Fujitsu, which is, you know, a combination of a couple of starters, but they were down to like the fourth string by the end. And, you know, there was a lot of celebrating and some people saying like the end of the Fujitsu era of dominance. But, you know, like you said, it's going to be a completely different thing. Fujitsu are on a 62-0 streak for the last 10 years against all non-Panasonic or Obic teams in Japan. So, yeah, it's good. It's good for Nojima. They get to the, it's their first final in the team's history since it was started in 2009. Like, Nojima is a kind of reincarnation of an older team, the Onward Skylarks, who were also a combination of two teams, the Oaks and the Skylarks, two earlier teams. The Oaks won a championship. Then as the combined team, they won two championships. And then I think it was like the financial meltdown around 2008. So the sponsors got pulled and that team disintegrated. And, but like a whole bunch, like I think it's like nearly 60 of the players of that team or whatever it was, came together and created Rise. So they were like rising from the ashes of the old team. So they're kind of the spiritual successor of that, but they're not officially counted as a successor. So as Rise, as Nojima Sagamihara Rise, they've never actually reached any kind of final yet in their team's 14-year history. So yeah, they're going up against Obic on June 18th. And for only the second time since the Pearl Bowl started in 1976, it's not going to be in Tokyo Dome or Korakuen Stadium.
Yeah.
Which was before Tokyo Dome was built. It's going to be in Kawasaki, 2 o'clock kickoff. So Obic going for four in a row in the spring East Japan tournament. Nojima going for first ever Civil War.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, for Rise too, right? Yeah, they get the win against, you know, Fujitsu. And, you know, Fujitsu wasn't trying to, you know, take it out and everything like that. But even on the Rise's end, right, you know, they still have three spots for Americans, and I know they're probably still, you know, I think they lost their big receiver, if I'm not mistaken. I think Yagi, right, who was their big target, I think he retired.
Yeah, I think so. I saw something about that too.
Yeah, so now they're looking, you know, they're looking for guys and things like that to fill that void. And, you know, also, yeah, they can still have room. I don't know if they're going to bring in their big tight end back. I don't know if he's coming back this season. You know, they had Lee Hightower, who retired last fall, and there's two spots I know on defense that are open for them right now, and I don't think they have that kind of really locked in yet. So hopefully, you know, hopefully we get a good rematch in the fall. I don't know which side both of those teams fall in, but I would like to see kind of the rematch of that, especially now that, you know, the Rise have that win in the spring over the Fujitsu. Once teams are kind of at, you know, full strength, I would like to see what this would a rematch would look like, though.
Well, you know, one of the things about, even though it's a preseason tournament and Fujitsu obviously aren't taking it as seriously in terms of like results as some of the other teams, it could, it's a good thing in that if Rise end up winning the Pearl Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Great momentum. Oh,
yeah.
Great.
IBM, remember 2016? Yep. IBM had made one. Japan Expo as it was at the time, but like after 2016 when they won that they won and they made the final twice more, so it was they were the second best team probably after Fujitsu over that stretch. You know, they beat Panasonic twice in the semifinals in a three-year stretch, I think it was, or was it back-to-back? I can't remember.
For a long time IBM was Panasonic's kryptonite for a long time there.
But the point about it is that it all kicked off with them winning 2016 Pearl Bowl. I think it gave them the confidence to kind of like step it up to the next level. They couldn't get over Fujitsu, obviously.
Success is going to breed success, right? So, yeah, I mean, insane, right? IBM. Yeah, when IBM won, right, like guys got a taste, right? Like, yeah, it wasn't the Rice War or anything like that, but they were like, oh, this is what it's like to win. And, you know, this is what it's going to take and things like that. So it was like, you know, oh, okay, this is what it's like. All right. You know, and now, right, like they've been in those moments, they've been in those games and things like that. I think there wasn't so much of a, all right, like, oh no, what do we do or how do we act, right? It's kind of, okay, we've been here, we've done it. Now let's just take the next step. So, yeah, I mean, if Rice can come in and get one, you know, it would be big for their program. I think, you know, I think this is the first time in my time that it's been a team outside of Obic, Fujitsu, IBM, or the Deers that I've ever seen in the Pro Bowl, you know, and so it'd be good, and it'd be good for them. And I mean, even, you know, whether or not, I think it's just good momentum for them going into the fall regardless, right?
It's good momentum for the team. It gives people a chance to see different teams in a title game, with some trophy.
Even on a bigger scale, who knows, right? Maybe somebody sees, oh, hey, they beat Fujitsu and things like that, and there looks to be a positive trend, and maybe sponsorships put more money into the program. Who knows, right, what it could do. So, you know.
You played in Pro Bowl finals, right?
What was this?
You. Sorry.
Yeah, played in a few.
What was that experience like?
It was funny. So in the beginning of part of my career, you know, I was very locked in on, if I'm going to play, I'm playing to win. And it was always weird, you know, yeah, in the spring and stuff like that. We were like, yeah, you know, this is, you know, I kind of always wanted to get the young guys in and things like that. But it was always funny. Like, and I always knew this about myself, but the day of the game, I knew I was going to play. So my switch is on. I don't care. This is the Pro Bowl. I don't care if I'm going to play. I'm going to play, and I'm going to play all out. And it was like, yeah, my switch would flip, and it would go from me being like, ah, this is the spring, to like, no, hell no, I'm not losing to anybody. So, but it was good fun. I mean, you know, it was good fun. And I mean, the Tokyo Dome experience itself is a little different. It's not comparative to the JXP or the Rice Bowl. So that's why this year, I think, it being in Kawasaki is a little bit, I think it'll be a more fun environment, because it'll be more, I mean, you can't feel obviously Kawasaki as much as you could feel the Tokyo Dome, but it'll be more compact. And, you know, I think the energy from both sides will be there. So I'm looking forward to kind of seeing what that environment will be like.
Yeah. Back in the day, you know, when Joe Montana was the face of the Pearl Bowl and the league used to bring him over every year and he was on the cover of the program, and they used to nearly pack out the Tokyo Dome. You'd have 30,000-40,000 people for that event, for that tournament. It was different, but you know, in recent years, I think that, you know, the attendance, you're looking at, you know, pre-COVID 15,000-16,000 people in a 55,000 theater dome. It's a lot of money for a stadium that size. So, but the downside of that is that Kawasaki, which is a stadium, I think its maximum capacity is about 5,000 or 6,000, right? So, you're probably got like 10,000 people less than you would have, but then again, it's a lot cheaper. So, but you know, when Fujitsu Stadium is full, as it is for you know Fujitsu Olympic games, it's a great atmosphere. So,
Kawasaki is full. I mean, yeah, it's not the dome or anything, but man, when it's rocking, it's rocking. It's a good time. So hopefully, you know, I hope the fans for the Rise and stuff like that, you know, I hope they're excited and they come pack it out. And I mean, shoot, I would love to see even that lawn area, just people sitting all over there picnicking.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Kawasaki Stadium looks good on TV. I mean, I don't care how small it is. It looks bigger on TV than what it actually is, just from the way you describe the seating capacity.
Yeah, it's nice. I like it. It's a converted, it was not a converted, it's on the site of a former baseball stadium that was not, then they built a football specific stadium there, and they left the area behind one of the goals as a kind of like a little grassy hill. It's got like all wildflowers and grass, and people just sit out there and watch. It's really nice. Yeah, it's a nice experience. So that should be a good game.
Oh yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah,
I might make an appearance there, doing something for YouTube, or maybe for the Playing for Sushi show. We'll see.
Nice. Yeah. I think on the day, so it's on the 18th. I'm not sure my schedule yet, There are other tournaments and stuff going on that I have to cover.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was looking at it as we're talking here, I'm looking at the college stuff, and there's just so much football going on right now.
Yeah.
It's hard to even keep up. I mean, we kind of focus in on the X League and everything, and there's a lot going right there, but just on the college level, geez.
And then I got the sumo and the rugby as well on top of it. So
yeah,
I'm pulled. So, but
yeah.
Yeah. So like, it's good. You know, we're looking forward to it. It's nice to see, but none of us are taking it all that seriously, as you shouldn't really, because it's still preseason in effect. So,
right. Right.
But there's been some news with some of the teams in the rosters. So since we last talked, I think we talked after the first series of games in the spring.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And at that stage, BJ's old team, the one that's in the final, Obic Seagulls, I don't think they'd brought in their quarterback, their American quarterback. So they took an interesting route this year. So they've had E1 FBS quarterbacks from West Virginia, from Auburn, from Hawaii, from UCLA. Boise State. So this time...
Well, the first was from UCLA.
From where?
The first guy was from UCLA. Jerry.
Oh, UCLA. That's right. Yeah. Jerry Neuheisel. Famous father coach as well. Yeah. So all big, kind of big name football programs. They've always had their American quarterback over the last 7-8 years from one of those kind of programs, but now they've decided to go with an NAIA quarterback. That's an interesting decision. What do you think of that?
Oh, I mean, we're going to find out, you know, and, you know, I've met the kid, he's a good kid. And, but we haven't seen anything, right?
Right.
Watched his highlights in college, and, you know, it's kind of hard to tell, right? Cause in a highlight video, you'll always look good, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, like Coach Prime said, right? Show me your practice film. Let me see what you look like in practice and how you operate. So even watching his highlight film, it's kind of hard to gauge what we're going to see once he does step on the field with that Ovik uniform. But, you know, it'll be an interesting move. And let's see if the gamble pays off, right? Everybody kind of goes after the shiny stars of the FBS one guys and things like that, but
yeah. Who knows? But let me ask you, BJ, if he doesn't work out, do they have a plan B?
There is only one plan B, and it's their guy Koba, the guy who's playing right now in the spring. I think he's the only other. I think he's the only quarterback on roster right now,
right?
Especially because I don't think Obik's new quarterback Tyler, I don't think he has his visa yet. So that was always an interesting thing that I was watching with Obik. I'm like, this is your only quarterback. And if he gets hurt,
right,
you know, here in the spring, what's your guy's plan?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, Obik's going to go into the fall with just two quarterbacks. So, I mean, there's only, yeah, I mean, then that's all they're going with. And it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we should probably, so Tyler Kulka, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
He played for LTU Blue Devils, Lawrence Technological University.
That almost sounds like a made up school, just off the top of my head. But it's got to be real small. Lawrence Technical University. Huh?
It's Michigan. It's not too far from your area, right?
Yeah. Let's see. I'm curious.
Lawrence Technique. So I, yeah, obviously it's
Tech,
not
Lawrence that any Tech. Of us who, wow.
Yeah, would be that familiar with. But one of the things is that they actually have it up on their website. Their main news for this month is that he's heading to Japan to play professionally. So they have stats up there that he threw for 9,000 yards, 79 touchdowns, and 13 rushing touchdowns over 5 seasons. So he had production, obviously.
Yeah. You know,
a small school. I think NAIA. I'm not like NAIA. The only quarterback really that I'm familiar from that is Aaron Ellis, who's at Denver Caterpillars, who just earned promotion to the top division. So
who's this?
Sorry?
That's the guy who still owes me touchdowns, right?
The guy who owes you 6 touchdowns, yeah. So
yep.
It's an interesting thing that the X League top division has gone from like massive schools like D1 quarterbacks, and now there will be two NAI quarterbacks for the first time ever. Aaron obviously has played around the world, played right. in Europe extensively, you know, so it's all different from what I can tell. Tyler, obviously, we don't know him that well, but it yeah. looks like this is his first job as a quarterback outside of college. So it's quite a jump. I mean, he's an American. Obviously, he's played college football in the States.
Yeah.
But we don't think NAI is at the level that it's going to be like playing at the top level of the X League. So it'll be interesting. I mean, there's some opponents obviously would be weaker, but when you're up against like Fujitsu, Panasonic, teams like that, these are basically teams that were playing against FCS, D1 FCS, you know, BJ's right. team in January. So, and going toe-to-toe and actually should have beaten a team entirely made up of D1 FCS players with some on D1 FBS programs already. So it's quite a jump up in level for him. And the other quarterback that BJ said is on the roster, Kobayashi Masayuki. He's 163 centimeters tall. He's got a rocket arm. He's a great player. I think he does fantastic. But if you're listening in from the States, that's 5'4". So he's by far the shortest quarterback. I mean, you know, he's the Bryce Young. I'm going to steal that from he's the Bryce Young of Japanese football, but probably more solid.
He's literally a pocket quarterback. You could put him in your pocket.
He's oh, yeah. small. He's got a
great arm. Guy, he played with big heart, though. I'll say that. I give him that. But I did hate when I was playing over there and he would be the scout quarterback. I'm not going to lie. There'd be days I'd be so frustrated because I can't see him. So as I'm pass rushing, I don't know where he is
because right.
he disappears.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's still in the pocket. I don't know if he got out of the pocket. I have no idea. So there'd be days where, like, there'd be days I'd be rushing and all of a sudden the ball would just pop out from behind the O-line and I'd be like, that's where he was.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I think he's a really good quarterback. It would be interesting to see, actually. I don't know if there's, you wouldn't call it a quarterback controversy or a quarterback battle. I guess Tyler is, if they brought him in, they've kind of established him as the starter. But like we said, he has no experience playing in football professionally. Or semi-professionally, so really, there's no film, there's nothing to go on. How well, he'll
handle. So. It'll be interesting, right? Because this is a whole new coaching regime. But I mean, Obik hasn't shied away from sitting the American before. Happened before, and they've played. I mean, obviously, the quarterback they sat the American for, though, you know, kind of was a solid veteran. It was, you know, Sugawara.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so you weren't sitting him for just anybody. It was a guy who was proven. And so, yeah, I mean, you could say a controversy, but obviously it's hard, right? Because we don't know. We don't know what Tyler looks like. We don't have anything on film or we don't have anything to compare to.
Well, but, in his favor, so they had, like you mentioned before, they brought in a few quarterbacks for tryouts and he beat them out. And, you know, they still have Jason Smith on the roster, who is a quarterback. Wide receiver. Now he's playing defensive back. Yeah. Probably be at nose tackle next year, I guess, and punter maybe the year after that. But he played wide receiver at IBM. He was a wide receiver at Auburn, but he also played quarterback at Auburn. So if you have a player who is, has the, you know, who was a quarterback who played at like a massive D1 program and still you're going with Tyler, I think obviously that tells you something about Tyler's levels. So
yeah.
If he came over here without any experience, without a resume, and beat out these other guys, there must be something there that Obik really liked. So, you know, that's, you know, looking at glass half full. So it's an interesting choice. Panasonic, of course, go with no American quarterback this year. So, you know, if you're being cynical, you could just say like the title is Fujitsu's once again, you know. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
Oh, I mean, well, Panasonic, right, kind of taking a page from the Fujitsu playbook, right?
Yeah, and I mean, the only difference is that Fujitsu's quarterback, even though he's Japanese, you could say he's probably the best quarterback in the league. He's up there, you know. I mean, Takagi is as good as any American quarterback in the league. And Fujitsu went with Takagi over Michael Birdsong, who's one of the best quarterbacks ever to play in Japan, but they decided to keep Samaji and Treshawn Nixon Samaji Grant and Trayshawn Nixon and let Michael Birdsong go to Europe. So, you know, that's he's a Japanese quarterback, but he's of a different level.
And I mean,
so it's a different thing.
You know, talking, I got to talk with Takagi last year when I was, you know, getting prepared for the Dream Bowl and stuff like that. You know, for him, one of the biggest things was sitting behind probably the greatest American quarterback that's ever played here was Kobe Cameron. Sat behind him, right, and just kind of studied and learned. And when Kobe stepped away and when Birdsong got hurt and it was his moment, it wasn't too big for him. I mean, he beat us. It was in the semifinal. Birdsong ruptured his Achilles. He gets thrown into the fire in the semifinals against us.
Yep.
You know, our defense was rocking and he beat us. And he took the job and hasn't let go of it since.
I think he has 3 championships now, right?
As a starter, yeah.
And he was an Obic quarterback back in the day.
For one year. He left, and the reason why he left was because of us bringing in an American.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think him getting to sit under Kobe was probably the best thing, being able to learn from him. I mean, like, I got to know Kobe in his time here and, you know, still talk to him every now and then. But, I mean, that guy was the vein of my existence in my career. I mean, there was nobody like him. I haven't seen anything close to him since.
Yeah, you could say he's probably the best player ever to play in the X League. I mean, that's an opinion that's defensible.
He was the best ever. There were moments in the game where he didn't look at the sideline.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, he just marched on the field and called every single play.
Yeah. He wasn't he with the Panthers, I think, when Cam Newton,
the Panthers,
the first Cam Newton spell there. He came out of Louisiana Tech, and he was, from what I know, from what players have told me, like, he was also partly responsible for installing that offensive system that Fujitsu brought in. And if you know soccer, he had that kind of like Eric Cantona with the Manchester United type effect. He was the talisman, the player that came in that helped change the culture and
brought
the team and got them over the edge. So
he brought in Pierre. And I mean, Pierre probably did a hell of a job. And now there's more American coaches there, Fujitsu, and they have a good blend of Japanese and American coaches. And yeah, it all really did. I mean, Kobe launched all of that. You know, and I mean, obviously, right, you know, they just had the perfect storm of guys at that time, right? You had Kobe, you had Gino, you had Adi, and you had Trayshawn, all 4 solid people on and off the field who all sat in the same room, all had the same exact goal, had the same exact vision. And I mean, that's what you're getting now, right?
If you look at, you know, we put this up on Inside Sports Japan a while ago, the longest serving Americans currently in the X League. John Stanton is entering his 12th season.
12th.
Adi Yami is at 11. So Adi, who's, you know, Yami. So he's 11. Trayshawn's at 9. Is at 6, along with Holden Huff and Jimmy Loch Ray. And then Samaji's at 5. So basically, you know, the 1, 2, 3. So the top 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. The top 11, 12 players. But like 2 of the top 3 are from Fujitsu. And then their other 2 then are along with the other ones after that. So, I mean, basically you're talking about that era, but they're all still there.
Well, I think Fujitsu is probably, outside of, right, Fujitsu is the team that's had the least amount of turnover as well. Right.
Yeah. I mean, when Joe Mathis went to Lixil for a year, to Deers for a year, and then came back, and Colby retired. And Birdsong moved on. That's basically it then. So like,
They brought in, the reason why they brought in Samaji was because when Trayshawn tore his knee in the summer or in the spring.
That's right. Yeah, and he's now entering his 5th season. So he's the newest player on their team entering the 5th season. So 11 years, 9 years, 6 years, and 5 years.
For their bringing in, I think what? Well, they brought in a D lineman their first year. He only stayed 1 year. Mm. Then Gino stayed until he retired.
Austin Healy, was it?
Oh, yeah. Then he came for a year. So I mean, there was like early on, there were guys in and out for Fujitsu, but then like, but in the long term, if you look at it, I mean, those guys, yeah, I mean, Adi's still there and stuff like that, and I mean, there really hasn't been much change.
And their coaches as well, Pierre.
Pierre,
Coach Pierre from 2005. Yeah. Kevin.
Yep. Now they have. They have Julian, who's the DB guy. He came in last year.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's right.
He played. Is he back? Yep. He's back, and Coach Dave, right? Who was the OC at OBIC last year? He's now the. He's with the DBs at Fujitsu, and I think special teams.
So if you look at Fujitsu's, so the current import players, Joe, Treshawn, Ade, and Samaji. Former import players, obviously, we talked about the two quarterbacks, Birdsong and Cameron, Colby Cameron, and Gino, obviously, was there forever. There's only three other guys, Austin Flynn, Andrew Suleimalo, and Brad Brennan.
Yep.
And Brad Brennan was there for 9 years as well, or, you know, so like they... Yeah.
Well, just, and that's huge, man. When you've got that longevity,
it's like hitting on draft picks every single year, you know.
Yeah,
they just hit on every player. I don't. If you look at their, there's no.
They player. Do a good job. They do a good job from the. From my experience, I mean, I don't know how this coaching staff does it because I'm not in the building anymore.
Yeah.
The way that it was conducted at OBIC, and from how I heard it's conducted at Fujitsu, is like night and day.
Yeah.
I mean, they go. At Fujitsu, they go deep into you.
They haven't brought in, yeah, Samaji
and Tim. To go find out anything and everything they can. They go searching.
Well, yeah. And to me, it sounds like, I mean, Fujitsu invests in their players. Invest in their coaches where, you know, they're thinking long term, and obviously their track record proves it out that that method works. Plus, too, aren't they one of the last clubs that's sponsored by a corporation too?
M and Panasonic are the last two, you know. And I mean, even kind of that goes to show, right, that the power that,
right,
I mean, because for the, I think the biggest advantage that Fujitsu and Panasonic have is as on the end of recruiting Japanese players, because it's such a big company, and it's like, hey, you can come play here, and here's the company, you know.
Here's your job. You can train.
You know, the transition isn't as difficult as where for like an IBM and an OBIC and things like that, Nojima. There's only so many spots to a company and their club team. So it's more so like, hey, we're friends with this company if this is what you want to do and things like that. And that's kind of more of a process. And sometimes it's even like, hey, once you get a job, then come talk to us because we can't really help you.
Yeah.
Whereas like at Fujitsu and Panasonic, if they really want the guy, it's like, hey, come here real quick. They go to the HR office, have a chat. Yeah. The guy comes out with a job offer.
Right. Well, I mean, it's you know, Fujitsu and Panasonic. I mean, that's harkens back to the days when, you know, the Bears were the Decatur Staleys and George Halas, you know. I mean, it's about as old school as you get when it comes to football in terms of how, you know, teams started back in the States, but in Japan, obviously, I mean, that's how it pretty much used to be, but with Fujitsu having the power of the purse behind him, that's everything right there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see now if the approach that Panasonic or OBIC have taken will lead them to success in in the autumn. But so I just looking at the map here, Lawrence Technological University, it's just basically suburban Detroit.
Yeah,
it's the edge of Detroit City. So on the way towards Flint, and it's not like, I can't say I've ever heard of it before Tyler came in. And
well, I grew up in that area, but I was 7 when we left, so I have not heard of it, but I'm sure I've been Southfield, Michigan. That definitely is over by the area where I used to live as a kid.
Although I'm looking at Google Maps here, their football field has Warriors, Southfield Warriors. Is that different?
Oh, it might be a high school team.
Blue Devils.
Play at the high school,
maybe. It will be interesting. So Tyler Kulka, he has yet to play in a game, and I don't know if his visa, because obviously with Japan reopening after COVID, just this month, not reopening, but like fully going back to normal, there's a huge backlog of visa stuff that has to be processed. So things are slow for the last year or so. So we'll see if his visa comes in time and he can play in that Pearl Bowl final. But yeah, you obviously, you know, the team would want to see him in action before the real thing starts in the autumn. So, and obviously for fans and on us in the media too, we would like to see him in action. Be interesting to see how he follows up all the big name quarterbacks that had the position before him.
Well, it comes from a small school, and you know, you never know. It could be the X-League version of Kenny Anderson.
I have no idea who Kenny Anderson is.
Really? Oh, wow. Who's Kenny Anderson? Kenny Anderson played. He was played for the Bengals way back when. Played at Little Augustana College in Rock Island, Illinois, and played for. I mean, he is the Bengals. Still, the Bengals. Great. I mean, Joe Burrow may have gotten him to. You know, might be the flavor of the month in Cincinnati. But when you talk quarterbacks. And Cincinnati, the conversation starts and ends with Kenny Anderson. Forget Boomer Esiason.
Oh, Ken Anderson. Oh, yeah. The guy with the, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he played at little tiny Augustana College out in Western Illinois.
Jeez, that's going back away now.
Yeah, well, I'm old, Dad. I mean, that does factor in.
I thought you were talking about some recent player.
Oh, hell, heck no. Oh, God, no. It's hard to keep up on what's going on nowadays. Too many football leagues.
Wasn't he just before Boomer Esiason? No?
Yeah, he was right before Boomer
Esiason. Right before Boomer Esiason.
You know what? How old Kenny Anderson is? He played the majority of his career when the Bengals just had the word Bengals on their helmet. That's how far back he goes.
That's way back in the, yeah.
Yeah, the old two-bar. I'm just looking at pictures of him here, two-bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Nice, nice. So, yeah, but that's one thing that's happening. And we have another team from Chinese-speaking region, a team that's played in the Chinese National Football League, is coming to Japan after the Hong Kong Warhawks came to play the Tachikawa Falcons. We now have a team from Taiwan coming. Taipei Predators, who Inside Sports Japan actually covered one of their training sessions about 4 or 5 years ago, because Lionel Pige is one of our photographers down in Kansai. He used to live in Taiwan, and his wife is half Taiwanese. Yeah, he has a lot of connections to there. So they're coming to play Okinawa
Guardian Lions,
the new X3 team that started up in Okinawa, the first X-League team in Okinawa. They started off in X3 last season, and they are going to play the Taipei Predators on July the 1st. So it's a month away yet down in Okinawa. In the Pineapple Bowl, they're calling that game, and that's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
that's going to be interesting. So, Taipei Predators are a fairly solid team, I think. With the Warhawks, I think just after they played Tachikawa Falcons earlier this month, they went and played a game in China. I think it's their first game since 2019. They played a team called Apache. So I think they're able to, I think with Taiwan, and I'm not sure about Hong Kong, but I know Taiwan, they couldn't travel. Their COVID restrictions were really strict. I'm not sure if they're going to go back into the Chinese league again, but they were a pretty decent side there. So I think that's going to be a really interesting game. You know, I think the Taipei Predators are stronger than people think. And Tachikawa Falcons are JPFF team. So we should say that the Warhawks and the Predators, even though they're from Taipei and from Taiwan and from Hong Kong, they have actually played each other on several occasions. And let me just see. The Warhawks have won all three. 2016, they beat the Predators 34-6. 2017, they beat the Predators 2014, and then 17-12 in 2019. So they're of a similar enough level, or they were up to a couple of years ago. But I would say that Tachikawa Falcons are, like, those JPFF teams are probably X2 level, maybe.
Yeah.
So probably better than the Golden, than the Guardian Lions, arguably. They don't play each other, so it's hard to know. But I think right. that game would actually be quite competitive.
It's in Okinawa, right?
It's in Okinawa, yeah. I think Lionel is going to go down for it and shoot that for us. And
need somebody to hold his bags?
You just get onto the Guardian Lions, man. Go down there. It's actually going to be streamed. I think the Rakuya guy is going to stream that game, who does a lot of the lower division X-League games on YouTube. So
that's... Yeah, I've been trying to figure out a time. I've actually been communicating with a couple of players on there to go go work with them and stuff. So I mean, I'm a fan. I love their helmet. Their helmet, the character design. I want one.
Oh, Guardian Lions? Yeah.
Well, I love Okinawa, and I mean the whole, you know, Shisa, the guardian dog, right? The protector, yeah. right? I love that.
Of course you do. That whole island life, that's your background, right?
Oh yeah. There's parts of Okinawa that literally look just like home to me. It's just everybody just speaks Japanese instead of, well, I don't know. We speak English in Hawaii, but not properly.
Well, there are parts of Hawaii that look like Japan too. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. I don't know. Hey, well, might ask the wife.
So
there you go.
Ryukyu Guardian Lions made their debut in X3 last year. And they won 3 games and lost 3 games. Finished 4th in the league. X3 West.
Yep.
X3 West, 3-3. So not bad for a team in the first year, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah. I think that will be actually an interesting game. And I think it could be also quite competitive. The Tachikawa Hong Kong Warhawks one was really close as well. So... I like this. I don't know. We have the Seoul Vikings are coming over from Korea. They've played games in Kansai over the years. They've usually played the J-Stars, another X3 team, but they're coming to play the League Effort Yells, another X3 team. So
when's that happening?
That is happening, I think it may also be July. A lot of these games are just, you have to try and find the information on them. But,
right.
You know, the teams, the Seoul Vikings have come over. The Seoul Vikings, I think, played Bullseyes as well in Yokota base. I think it was 2018. So, you know, the Korean team has come over. At least one or two of the Korean teams have come over the years. But now the teams from Taiwan and China and stuff are starting to organize games against the lower division X League and private league stuff. So I think that's really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the problems with football in Asia, unlike Europe, is that Japan is on like this super developed level, and right. everywhere else is just basically, you know, far, far. But Korea is kind of obviously the second best. And
right.
Then,
well, kind of like baseball, too.
Right.
It reminds me of the baseball. I mean, you know, Japan's always at the top, and then you got Korea, and then you got China, and everybody, you know. But, you know, China being China, let's face it. You know, who knows, in 10 years they could be a superpower, and just looking at how everything has developed in China since we were kids.
See how that develops.
Yeah, but
it's at least it's good that we're starting to get some international games. They may still only be like small affairs, you know,
right,
teams, but it's a start, and it's building relationships, and you know, hopefully will lead to bigger and better things in the future. So that should be a good game. Looking forward to that.
Yeah,
and it's not too far. It's literally right there in the main heart of town, right off the airport.
Yeah, well, everywhere in Okinawa is pretty close. It's small place.
Yeah, I got to make it down there. I got to, you know, there's quite a few bases there I'll feel definitely at home at.
Well, every time I've been there, I get, like, I land at the airport and I drive as far as I can from the city.
You have to drive too, because it's probably the only part of Japan that's not really covered by public transport. There's no like the trains.
You're catching a bus everywhere. Yep.
Yeah, bus or rental. Rental car basically is the way to go when you're in Okinawa.
Yeah.
But I think that's most of the football news.
Okay. And on the college side there, BJ, anything, what's going on the college side? Anything? Any major stuff other than practice games?
I mean, we just had, Kondai, right? I mean,
yeah, they beat KG.
That might be, who knows, right? That, I mean, you know, we talked about the rise in Fujitsu. I think with the college level, I think obviously, I think they put a little more effort into it. But yeah, I mean, KG, right? The fighters losing to somebody down there was kind of a wow. And I mean, in a dramatic fashion, right? Time running out, send the last field goal in. And I mean, it's a big, that was kind of the probably, that probably trumped the rise beating Fujitsu as far as football news the other day. I think people I think that was more of a shock to the football world here than that. And you know, Kanda, I mean, yeah, they were trending last year, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know, they seem to kind of just keep trending upwards. So, you know, that was probably a big upset. And I mean, the Tokyo area, you know, it's, for us that I can kind of tell, things like that, I mean, pretty much people are kind of still in the same places they are. There's not a lot of the big matchups yet, I think. I mean, I know Waseda and lost to Rikyo.
Yeah, yeah.
But I kind of watched the film on that, and like Waseda, I think Waseda was just like, hey, we'll just, you know, I think the first half they were literally like, hey, let's just play all the young kids. And at some point they were like, oh crap, we need a win. But I think they kind of already gave Rikyo the momentum at that point.
But it's like you said yourself, BJ, you know, a lot of these games, even what you're doing, you're trying to get guys who've never played football before, you know, experience. And, you know, so it's also the spring season and, you know, results are, you know, it's one, results are results, but, you know, nobody, at the end of the day, people are worried about the fall, really. You know, it's the autumn.
Yeah. It's terrible. More so getting ready for the fall. And yeah, I mean, like I have 10, right? Like I always talk about, I have 10 D linemen and only one has game experience before this spring. Right. Yeah. So a lot of juniors and sophomores have been getting thrown into the fire. And, you know.
So since we talked to you actually the last time, I think you played Kyoto. That was a 2014 win.
Yep.
For your guys. Then you played, who did you play next? Ichidai, was it?
Yep, and we lost by a field goal.
What was the score of that one? What date was that on? I'm trying to see if I can find that.
That one was on the 21st.
There you are. 35-32. And then you played Fujifilm Minerva, which is the X1 area team, last weekend. That was 31-0.
Yep.
And so how about those three games? Like what progress have you made, or how do you feel about your team after three more games in the spring?
I mean, you know, we're good. Defensively, you know, we are, you know, we don't go in with a game plan. We honestly don't. We don't scout the other team. I mean, obviously when we do run throughs and stuff like that, we run plays that the other team's going to run. But we don't really kind of like, hey, like, you know, we don't have these long meetings where we sit down trying to break down the opponent. It's more so like I just drill into my kids, stay on your fundamentals, read your keys. But they've made some progress, you know. The first game against Kyoto, we did a good job of stopping the run. Thankfully, Kyoto didn't play their starting quarterback as much as they did, because that kid's got some skills and he's got some wheels on him. You know, we got a little bit of pressure on him, but, you know, we didn't get a sack yet. Nichidai, we caught Nichidai off guard. We did a good job again, stopping the run. We got to get a little bit more pressure on the quarterback, is that's all. Our corner who kind of got picked on in that game, you know, I never did tell him this, but I'll give him I do make excuses for him, because he was playing receiver up until 2 months ago.
Okay.
And we just put him in at starting corner. And he's getting there though. He can move. I mean, he's got speed, which is why we put him there. And now it's just, you know, going through the experiences of, you know, he's had some stuff against Fujifilm. He did good. He got beat here, got beat there, but he had to keep a couple stops. If he turned his head like maybe 2 seconds earlier, He could have had an interception one second earlier. Hit him right in his back. But, you know, the D-lineman, as far as my D-lineman, we got our first sack and against Fujifilm. And it was a kid, his second game ever in his life playing football. His first sack. So the team is good. They're progressing. You know, there's no – the good thing I like is even though we lost, you know, 31-0 against Fujifilm, there wasn't this feeling of like, oh, we're terrible or oh, we're weak or oh, it was like, damn, like I messed this up. That's why they made this play. I messed this up because, so there wasn't this like, oh, they're so much better than us. It was like, I messed up, which is why they were able to do
it. It was a true learning experience, and they recognized it for what it was.
So just kind of seeing that in their eyes and things like that. And, you know, I don't have to, you know, give them the like, hey, we're okay, good talk and things like that. You know, I just like, hey, look, like you guys, I can see it in your guys' eyes, right? Like, it's not that they're that much better than us. It's that we make mistakes and we make it easy for them.
Right. So,
well, it's a really, I mean, it's a really interesting schedule to put up. You like every opponent is really up there. Like Kyoto, Nihon, you know, X1 area team, which is like one of the better X1 area teams. Then you got Ritsumeikan up next. I mean, you're going against some of the best teams in Japan. And I think your last one then is against the National Defense Academy. So that's like the, like we'll say West Point Army, Navy.
Yeah.
Like they all combine in Japan. So the Air Force, Army and Navy, the Japanese Defense Forces have a single academy. Not really that strong of a football team. So like, that'll be, you know, the easiest game is the last one, but I mean, Ritsumeikan are up there with KG as one of the best college teams in Japan up next. And that's, you're up against like some of the strong, you're really getting like you're going up against it in the spring for sure. Like you didn't get any easy, soft, like gentle easing into the season to start. You went up against some tough teams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta like that.
Well, you know, when the schedule came out and, you know, the way Mori-san set the schedule up, you know, I thought it was great because, you know, I mean, like, against Nietzsche that we lost, like, there was that taste, like, ooh, it was this close and we didn't get ready for them, you know? So there's kind of like that now they're kind of start to see, right? And I think that's what Mori-san was planning when we play these teams, right? Like, he's trying to show them that the gap isn't as big as you think, that it's majority in your head, that if you believe that there's a giant gap between you and them, you can come real. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things we always preach, you know, Mori-san, the whole, you know, leading up to it, he's like, I don't care who we play. I don't care if we play this team. Our opponent is our opponent. I was like, don't make your opponent bigger than they are. Don't make your opponent lesser than they are. Your opponent is your opponent. You respect them as it is, but you play your game.
Right.
And so, you know, I think the kids are starting to see, right, that, oh, yeah, we're not as bad as people believe we are, you know. Right. So I think they're starting to find a little bit of confidence in themselves. And, you know, like, our offense has done a good job. Our offense hasn't had one turnover this whole year, spring season. Which was kind of a thing for us last year in the fall. A lot of games probably got away from us because we turned over the ball. I think against Waseda, we had like 4 or 5.
Where's your Ritsumeikan game being played?
That one's going to be in Osaka.
At their college?
No, it's so when I look at the field, right? Are you looking at the field name right now?
I can't find where the game is being played.
It's okay, so that game's going to be played. It's called MK Taxi Field, which is Expo.
Oh, it's at the X. It's over at the.
But for Expo that day. It's really weird.
Isn't it like MK Taxi now?
Yeah, so it was Expo Flash Field up to last year. Then MK Taxi took over the sponsorship of it. But it's June 10th, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at June 10th MK Taxi Field. It was a game at 11 a.m. Two Osaka colleges. 1:30 is two more Osaka colleges. 3:50 is Tokushima and Hyogo. And no, you're not on the schedule for MK Taxi Field. That is strange. And that's four games from 11 a.m. up to.
Oh no, sorry. We're at. Oh, where is this? BKC Greenfield. I think it changed.
Yeah. Where is it? BKC?
BKC.
Greenfield?
Yes. So I have no idea where that is. I've never played at that field.
Oh, you're at, you know where that is? That's Ritsumeikan's ground. You're playing at Ritsumeikan University. You're playing them in their home, their practice field.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
Oh, so we're going to
Kyoto. Yeah, it's that's BKC is Biwako Kusatsu. So that, I think that's Shiga, isn't it? Kusatsu. Let me see. I think that's...
It's like right in between Kyoto and Shiga, yeah.
Yeah.
Kusatsu.
Kusatsu, it's famous onsen place. Yep, you that's are... Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, you're just near Otsu. I think, is it near Otsu? Yeah, just yeah. So you're in Shiga.
Oh.
Interesting. So...
Coach, I didn't even know where that...
Yeah, so you're playing... That's one of Ritsumeikan's campuses. Nice one. So I wonder if that one is actually going to be open to the public. So sometimes with those ones, they don't have them open to the public. But that's kind of...
We actually have another game. We have a fifth game that... or we got another game that got... I don't know. We're going to play Kanto Gakuin Daigaku.
You're playing on Greenfield? You're not even playing at the main stadium, so...
Yeah, I think it's a... So they play Meiji the next day. So I think we're only already going to get their JV team.
Yeah, you have, yeah, that's literally like a football field with doesn't even have bleachers.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's going to be
practice playing at the practice field.
It's a practice field that doesn't even have bleachers. So it's like
my kids need to learn. You play wherever, it don't matter. You don't need fans.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
well, hopefully it's decent turf and it's not filled. Remember the practice fields I played on as a kid. Basically there was just dirt and rock.
Well, so that's, yeah. But I mean, that's the case. Like a lot of these spring games as well, because there's so many of them and they're all like, they're all over the place. But it's basically, you know what it actually reminds me of? It reminds me of Seagull's practice facility. It's very similar to that. It's just, it's just a field with trees all the way around it. Yeah, so it's just a little.
Hopefully, they give us the shade. Then, next month's gonna be hot.
It's gonna be sticky, hot and sticky.
Yep. What's the game plan for that one? Or do you have a game plan? Or what's your target for that one?
Send my kids in and tell them go get the quarterback. Well, I mean, like that's like honestly, it's just like so. This week we don't play, right? We kind of have 2 weeks before that game, but this week it's really like. Kind of take it down and okay, we're going to go back to our fundamentals. Like, okay, just getting them situations that they're going to come across.
Yeah.
And not really kind of telling them, like, hey, Ritsumeikan's doing this. I don't want that in their heads. They're kind of just like, hey, when you get this kind of block, your eyes go here, here, here. Just kind of walking them through all that.
And so, you're, what is the name of that? Was it Greg Roman? Was that the name of the guy? Take kill the head and the body will follow. The guy, the Saints defensive guy that got banned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember.
What was his name?
Yeah.
Was it Greg Roman?
Yeah. Greg Roman. Yeah.
Yeah. He was the one. Remember when the Saints got.
When the bounty
gate. Yeah. But like that was his thing, right? Just go.
Yeah.
So I don't want to call like the wrong guy now. Was it? No, Greg Roman's a coach, but was he?
Well, they suspended a coach too.
I don't want to sort of, who was it? The guy? No, I don't think it was Greg Roman. Well, he wasn't with the Saints, was he? No. Bounty. What was it called? Bounty Gate?
Yeah, it was Bounty Gate.
Greg Williams.
Greg. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Greg Roman. I didn't mean to disparage your reputation. Yeah.
No, Greg Roman. Greg Williams.
Yeah. Nothing. Greg Williams. There was a Greg. I knew it was a Greg.
I like Greg Williams. He's a crazy mofo.
Yeah. So you like him. So you're modeling your coaching after that.
Well, I'm not going to. I mean, I tell my kids play aggressive, but don't do anything. You
got
to play.
You got good and bad Greg. So, you know, it is what it is, you know.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm still traumatized from the Packers, what they did to Jim McMahon.
Oh,
What was the name of that Packer? Charles Martin.
Yeah.
The worst. It wasn't even a tackle. It was
no. It was after the play was over, man. He just
10 seconds after the play was tossed the Bears.
Body slammed him.
I think he was trying to make his appearance for the WWF.
Yeah.
That still traumatizes Bears fans because, like, if McMahon had stayed with the team, they would have won at least two more Super Bowls. So, you know, they were better.
They would have won
in 86. They had a better team than 85.
Yeah, but they couldn't get it over the hump in 86, though. So,
why couldn't they? Because they didn't have they were Doug Flutie and Jim Harbaugh as quarterbacks. Come on, man. McMahon was the. My man wasn't a great quarterback, but he was a great leader for that team. So,
Definitely.
They would have gotten over the hump. They would have beaten, but anyway. Yeah,
and people forget that, Jim McMahon played another 10 years after that too, but mostly on the sideline as a backup quarterback.
Yeah, and wore his Bears jersey to the Packers Super Bowl at the White House celebration. Yep. Jim McMahon.
Yeah.
We're deep into the spring. There's plenty of games left. You can find a lot of them free on YouTube through those various things. Yeah, I think the Taipei Okinawa one is one you should. That is going to be on Dorakuya. So
if I can't go,
I'd
love to go to Okinawa.
That'll be a good one. Yeah. And actually, now that I look at it, Dorakuya is also streaming the Seoul Vikings Lead Effort Yells one, and that is on July 2nd.
Okay.
So
cool.
Consecutive Saturday, Sunday. So July 1st, Pineapple Bowl. And July
means I got football to throw on the big screen here then during the day.
His YouTube thumbnails are using our photos.
Really? Oh, geez.
But that's all right. You're talking about X3 teams. Nobody's making money out of photos like that. So
yeah.
31 days and 32 days. So
yeah. And then talk about football season. We got the Canadians that are playing, CFL season starting up next month.
Yeah.
We lucked out. We can watch the games for free now.
Live. Only.
Live, yeah.
There's no video on demand. You can't flick back 10 seconds during.
Yeah, games. Well, I guess we take what we can get. That's kind of the frustrating part. But I'm like, okay, if that means I don't have to pay for money, if I gotta get up and watch it live, I gotta watch it. If I have to get up early, but most of those games are in the evening though. So I mean, getting up for us.
Well, there are 5 a.m. starts in Japan. Most of them. So some of them are like 6, maybe 7. I think the Stampeders one, there was a fire smoke delay.
Yeah, there was. Yeah,
and then there was lightning or something. So actually ended up being like 8 a.m. So it wasn't bad at all. Yeah. But I think they're really I really like that it's all their games are free, but you can't even go back if you miss a play or you want to see what
happened. You're screwed.
So it's kind of But Toshiki Sato made his debut for them, for the Stamps. Did pretty well as a punter and kicker. So we got Machino, I think, is back with Winnipeg, Les Maro. So the no new Japanese guys, but the three guys that are doing well are still doing well there. I'm kind of watching the Mexican football too. Their championship game is coming up, the Dinos and the Claudillos, who came over from the league that collapsed, the FAM league. They've gone unbeaten in their first season in Mexico. So I would love to see the Mexican champions play the Japanese champions in both college and semi-pro football. That's my thing. So I love watching Mexican football, man. Mexican football and Japanese football are they should play way more games together. They're the two closest in level.
Yeah.
Mexicans are really passionate. They have some great. They're good. They're really, really good. I think they're right up there with Japan. I think at the college level, they're better. I think their college level teams are better than the Japanese teams. But I think,
really,
yeah, definitely. I mean,
wasn't the last college team like World Cup kind of thing. Didn't Mexico like destroy Japan for the
championship? Yeah. So at like those under 18 and college championships and under 16 and World College, which aren't using college teams, but are like, you know, Japan team made up of college players. Yeah, right. Mexico has been beaten Japan in the last three or four times, I think, actually. Yeah,
like 40 something, like 10, yeah. I think was the last time when it happened. I was like, holy smokes.
So KG went down there and beat, I think it was
somebody.
Yeah, the Pumas. So that was fairly impressive, but that was a really tight game and KG just barely beat them. Of course, it's in Mexico. So, but like that wasn't nearly their best team that year. Like they had a lot of college teams that were better that year. And I would put the Mexican collegiate system just above the Japanese one, but okay. I would put the top X League teams above. Well, I think the top X League teams are fairly significantly better than the LFA team. Not significantly, but the LFA has all the guys come from a really strong college system. And I think they can have up to 10 Americans on their roster. So, you know, they don't have some of the big names, but they also play by NFL rules, I think.
Is the LFA, I'm going to show you my ignorance here, but the LFA, I mean, is it, those guys are paid? I mean, it's much like the X League setup, right?
They call themselves a professional league and everyone, they have a salary cap. And so a little bit like some of the leagues in Europe, but actually better paid. But I mean, most guys are just getting what they call like gas money or like
per diem.
But yeah, so, but everyone's getting something.
Okay.
But they're technically, I think their budget for the year, I think their salary cap is like $60,000 or something like that, or per team, something like that per year. So I'm not sure now exactly what that is, but yeah. So, I mean, they have only a couple of guys probably that are making a couple of guys. I'd say they're probably a few more players than maybe the X League has making money. Because they've got 10 Americans on the rosters, up to 10. So, but they're good, solid teams. So I would love to like their champions play the X League champions like that.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of CFL buddies of mine. They've been talking about they were watching the Mexican League this year and they're saying it's really good football.
I don't think you can get, that's one of the problems, like with the football leagues are so different in level. I don't think you can get very many like top team versus top team in a competitive game. Like the top CFL team is going to destroy the top X League team.
Right.
So talking about, you know, 55 full-time professionals who play, and you know, almost all of them play top level college ball, you know, so you can't put a professional team against a semi-pro or amateur team and just expect competitiveness. It's just not, you know, I mean, if they went fully pro, I think that would be different.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could make huge jumps in level and be up there with the CFL in short order. But right now I think the Mexican college champions against the Japanese college champions and the LFA champions against the X League champions. Like if you had those four teams in a festival of football, I would pay anything to watch that. You know, I'd love to see that.
That'd be really good fun.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, I'd rather see that than watch the Pearl Bowl games, to be honest with you. I would love to see Fujitsu go up against like Fundidores or, you know, Claudios or whatever team.
Well, yeah, and then if you have something like that, then there's always that possibility that the NFL might look at it and going, you know what, maybe we'll fund it. You know, to start, because I mean, who knows what the USFL and the XFL, how that's all going to pan out in the end. I haven't watched any USFL football this season, and just because of the time difference, probably won't. But
yeah, we can only hope more international football. Anyway, we're getting some.
Oh yeah,
so hopefully we get more higher levels now that Corona's all like settled down. So
yeah, well, by you know. Next season, and hopefully by 2024, we'll be back to pretty much everything's back to normal. You know, things are kind of back to normal now, but you know, hey, at least down here where I'm at, we're starting to see the masks come off, so it's kind of nice.
It's after 3.5 years, it's been long.
Well, gentlemen, hey, on that note, let's wrap it up here. I know BJ, you got to go back to reviewing film, and John's got to go do writing, and I'm sure my wife's got a honey-do list somewhere waiting for me when I leave here. So we will end it here. And All right. Well, hey, everybody, on behalf of John, BJ, and myself, thank you very much for listening, and we shall be talking to you very, very soon. Bye-bye.